Welcome to Faith, Family, and the Force. I'm Annabeth.
And I'm Oliver.
Faith, Family, and the Force is a podcast about just that, our faith, our family, and our experiences as Oliver is in the Air Force.
And on today's episode, we talk about Ash Wednesday, the Lenten season, and leading up to Easter. We hope you enjoy the show, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Happy Ash Wednesday, friends!
Yes, happy Ash Wednesday.
Do people say happy Ash Wednesday?
Well, they don't say Merry Ash Wednesday because that would just be weird.
Would it be weird though?
Yes, I think it would be weird. Welcome to Faith, Family, and the Force, guys. If you haven't figured out, today is Ash Wednesday, and we're going to be talking about a little bit about that, what it means for us, the historics of it, and just how you can grow closer to God through it, and just a little bit of my experience of being in the military and seeing Ash Wednesday from that side of things.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know you were going to talk about that.
Well, surprise.
I love surprises. So Ash Wednesday is the day, like today starts 40 days until Easter, right?
Correct.
So Easter's 40 days away. That's exciting.
Yes. So fun fact, Oliver, that's me, loves Easter. Easter is my favorite holiday. I like it better than Christmas. I like it better than Flag Day. I like it better than Groundhog Day. I like it better, especially like it better than Valentine's Day. Nevertheless, it's just, I don't really have a good reason. Like, obviously, like, Jesus is a good reason for it to be a good holiday and stuff. But I've always just had really good memories. Like, I've always had good Easter food. I like spring clothes. Big sucker for seersucker. You know what I mean? And, it just always seemed like a really happy time growing up. So I associate Easter with happy things.
What did you always get in your Easter basket?
So, fun fact, Easter baskets, we had these huge, like, really ornate Easter baskets. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but my mom had, she probably still has them, but they have, like, little birds and bunnies, and, like, they're, like, wicker, like, really expensive looking, and, like, kind of crazy to think about that we were babies and kids and tearing into them with chocolate and stuff. When I was younger, it used to be like your typical toys and just small knickknacks and stuff. But as we got a little bit older and started reading and just enjoying life, my mom transitioned us, or the Easter Bunny, excuse me, transitioned us to like more books and just stuff that is like self-betterment. Is that even a word? Something to better ourselves. Betterment. Betterment isn't a word. I'm going to look that up. Anyways. But so everything that like in our Easter baskets was focused on like books, understanding ourselves, and just deeper thoughts, and chocolate, of course. But we only got like a little bit of chocolate because I don't care too much for chocolate. So mostly like some Twizzlers and the cool Reese's eggs. Yeah, Reese's eggs.
Y'all, this is a huge debate between the two of us that goes on and on. But my Easter baskets, I always got, not in the basket, but I always got like an Easter, new Easter dress or Easter outfit to wear to church, of course. And then I don't really remember. I know I got candy. I think I always got some like new spring clothes or shoes or bathing suit or, you know, something like that. And then I don't know really. I don't remember. I'm sure I always got good stuff, though.
What are we doing for Jude for his Easter basket? If we're going to do the... We are not planning on doing the Easter Bunny, but we will do, like, Easter basket happies. I like that tradition. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Last year, we got him the cutest Easter outfit, and then he did wear it, but we just sat at home because COVID. But he was so cute. And then I think we got him a book, and some socks or something, nothing too crazy because he was like, didn't know what was going on. But this year, I think it'll be cool. He'll actually get to like open it himself, and we're gonna get him some bubbles, some flip flops, some books, maybe a little bit of candy, not too much.
M&M's.
Yeah, he's obsessed with M&M's right now, so that's always fun. Anyways, back to Ash Wednesday. Tell us, Explain better what Ash Wednesday is than what I did. It's more than just 40 days until Easter, right?
Right. So Ash Wednesday marks the start of the Lenten season. Lent is the 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter, leading up to what the modern day church, so like think past Jesus's death church, and more into the like late thousands and what we know of the church as today, kind of leading into this season of us understanding and growing closer to God and Jesus via like sacrificing something or adding on. You also, it's very, very common to hear like, what did you give up for Lent this year? You know, like a lot of people give up chocolate, social media, cell phones, or they take up running or, you know, more reading and Bible time, which is great things. And we're going to dive into those. Annabeth has a lot more on that. But I just kind of wanted to talk to the historics real quick. And first, I wanted to say that like Ash Wednesday and Lent are not in the Bible. Like you won't find where Jesus and the disciples celebrated Ash Wednesday and Lent because this is kind of weird. Jesus lived the 40 days of temptation, you know, in Matthew and Luke and the early chapters of, he lived that. And that's kind of what something that models the 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter.
But they couldn't celebrate Lent and Easter because Jesus was alive still.
Facts, because Jesus died and that's thus us celebrating Easter. So most sects of Christianity like recognize it, but you'll definitely see like hardcore Catholics, a lot of Catholics, real traditional Methodists, Lutherans, Episcopalians, and Presbyterians celebrate Ash Wednesday. And you'll notice it's very common to see like the Ash cross on their head. That's something that is very like your outward expression of you letting people know that you are partaking in Ash Wednesday in the Lenten season.
So when I was growing up, the church I went to, we didn't do Ash Wednesday. I didn't know what it was until I got into high school and we went to a different church. So do you remember doing Ash Wednesday like before high school?
So my great-grandmother was Catholic, so I remember like doing it kind of with her, but not having like a whole great experience. And then I remember being younger and going to Presbyterian church, and that was Palm Sunday, bringing the palm branches in. I remember learning that a lot of churches burn those palm branches and make the ashes, thus using for Ash Wednesday and in the ashes, which is really a cool fact. I knew this, but I never appreciated it. But like each of the ashes, each iteration, each Ash Wednesday, they're used over and over and over again. So if you have a really traditional historic church that's like maybe like a historic Catholic church that has a long, long heritage, you could have remnants of ashes from like hundreds of years ago, which is just kind of interesting fact. It's not going to make you any more holy or anything crazy, but just like, oh, neat, cool whiz, you know.
That is cool. So I think the biggest thing is if you did go to, you know, a very traditional church, sometimes it could be like a very strict, you have to give up something for Lent. We celebrate all these holidays and all these traditions that you have to follow. And so as you grew up with that kind of thinking, it might have been a turn off for you. Like you might now not want to do Lent or not want to celebrate all these, like not strict, but you know, could be enforced strictly Lent, Advent, different things like that. So I want to say like, this is not something God never, like Oliver said, it's not in the Bible. God never said you have to do this. This is just one of those things that's like an invitation that is something that can bring you closer to God and can be a really good thing. But it does not have to be like a strict, you know, religious ritual that you have to follow.
Absolutely. And you'll hear a lot, specifically in like the Catholic Church, about not eating meat on Fridays, but they'll eat fish, which, fun fact, Annabeth and I argue all the time about, is fish actually meat? So let us know, you know, write on our Facebook or message us on Instagram. We'll put a poll out there about fish actually being meat or not, because we disagree.
Yeah, I think I'm right though. I guess we'll find out. Okay, so like Oliver was saying, if you go to an Ash Wednesday service, they will in some form do some sort of service where they put ashes on your head in a cross, and then they usually say, from dust.
So something along the lines of, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
So what does that mean? I never really understood that. I know that that's usually what is said, but it always kind of confused me.
Yeah, so I think the drawing there, and correct me if I'm wrong, is when Adam and Eve were like being created, specifically Adam, you know, God picking up the dust in that beautiful imagery in the early part of Genesis and creating him out of nothing. And I think it's good to remember like the humble beginnings, you know, and like really what, how fragile and just of nothing we are, and essentially to nothing will return. It can be really daunting if you're like me and you get in your own headspace and then you start thinking about this and you can't sleep at night, but that's okay, because that's why we have each other and we can share these thoughts and burdens and whatnot.
Yeah. So when I was reading about it, I thought it was cool because, I don't know what I was reading, just some article or something that popped up on Google, but it said, the reason it says like to dust you shall return is to remind us like our bodies will return to dust. Like where our bodies aren't, you know, anything, but like our soul is what matters. And so like your outward body is just a body and it's human, but like your soul and you will live on and hopefully be with Christ one day.
For sure. And so there's another saying, I'm blanking on what it is.
It's something about believe the gospel
and repent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's believe in the gospel and repent, which I have actually haven't been told that when I have participated in Ash Wednesday. So, but I mean, that makes sense. You know, like it's very straightforward. I believe the gospel and repent. That's good. You need to hear that every once in a while, I think, you know, and because especially if you're like me, get caught in the headspace and you're like, oh goodness, this is a lot going on. But I wanted to, before we dive into like things that we might be giving up or adding on for our Lenten season, because we are going to participate in this and talk about this for the next 40 days and just kind of be more self-aware of my military experience with Ash Wednesday, because it's kind of interesting because there's not a whole lot of times in the military where you get to express your faith outwardly. There's very like a weird stigma sometimes on showing and like outwardly showing your Christian faith or Muslim faith or Sikh or whatever. Like it's just, you have to be very like nonchalant or very chalant. You just got to be very like middle of the road, which is fine. And I think has a time and place for it. But Ash Wednesday is a really cool opportunity because I have yet to seen like in my experience when people get ashes put on their forehead before work or in the middle of work, if they go to mass or their church's service at lunch. So if they can like get out of work essentially. And like a lot of people, when it's kind of cool when you forget it's there and it's just like kind of becomes a part of you, super symbolic and stuff. Then the other thing is like people, it opens up good conversation. And of course it's very daunting when someone's like, oh, I didn't know you were a Christian. Like why you have ashes on your head? And you get a really cool opportunity to like explain, you know, what your beliefs are and just get a chance to minister and talk on a like pretty open level there. And, you know, I'd like, of course you you got to know your audience and like understand where a time and place are appropriate and whatnot. But I would just venture to say like it's brought really cool conversations and just overall like an interesting thought and perspective being in the military and having a lot of people celebrate Ash Wednesday and seeing people who are like, oh, I didn't know you went to church. Like, cool. And now like maybe we can talk about this if we have some time or not. Like, it gives me some comfort factor, you know, when you start thinking about stuff. So it's cool.
That is cool. So the 40 days, like you said, symbolizes Jesus going into the wilderness and being tempted by Satan for 40 days, right?
That's correct.
And so when he did that, he fasted. He didn't eat anything and was also being tempted and was really just in prayer the whole time. And so that's kind of why people give up something, because Jesus fasted. So that's part of the reason people like usually give up something. So, but like Oliver was saying earlier, like you could give up, you know, anything. It could be certain food or just drinking water or, you know, not watching TV for the 40 days, anything like that. But you can also add something. So, reading your Bible for 30 minutes every day or praying every day or, you know, whatever that might be. But either way, whatever the case is, if you did decide to give up or add something, it needs to be just something that's going to bring you closer to God. So like a lot of people sometimes are like, oh, I'm going to give up eating
chocolate
or bread. And they do that and that's great. But like that has nothing to do, like doing that is just good for them, but like has nothing to do with bringing them closer to God. So like whatever you decide to do, it just needs to be something that is going to increase your relationship with God, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And also like maybe it is a good opportunity for you to get back on track to your New Year's resolutions, especially if those were like healthy and spiritually related to this. Like this can be a little energizer. I would also say that have some grace and mercy. Like if you've never had to sacrifice something and then replace it with an intentional time well spent or some moment with God, I would say it's going to be difficult, you know? So like if you do it good for a couple days and then mess up one day, like it's okay. Like, you know, you're not out in the wilderness fasting. I mean, you can do that. That's cool too. Like I've heard of stories of people who fasted for 40 days, I think it's very zealous and awesome, but I like food a little too much and I run too much, my body would eat itself. So it wouldn't work for me. But I'm still not entirely sure what I want to give up. It's, you know, the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday is Shrove Tuesday or Fat Tuesday if you're into the Mardi Gras scene. And being where we live and where we're from, Mardi Gras is pretty well celebrated, but I haven't quite figured out what I want to add or get rid of or a little combination of both. I definitely want to get back into journaling a little bit more. Annabeth does such a great job about journaling. She does it like every single night and she's super disciplined at it, but she's made it a habit. Whereas I kind of started having a habit of it and then I kind of dropped it just because I just don't like journaling at night. I'm a morning person. And so that's kind of, I can make an excuse for it, but I don't know. I'm going to sleep on it and see what hits me in the morning.
Yeah. And I want to say, like, I heard this on another podcast I was listening to the other day, and I thought it was so good because they were talking about Jesus being tempted for 40 days and he wasn't eating, you know, and in the wilderness alone. And you think, like in his human side, humanness, that has to be like the weakest point he had ever been in thus far in his life. And they were like, but think about it. He had to rely so heavily and was so close to God to get through those 40 days of being tempted and not eating, that that was probably the strongest he actually was, because he was so connected to God that he spiritually, like physically, he probably was weak, but spiritually that probably was the strongest he had to be. And of course you have to be to get through that mentally and spiritually strong. And so when you're thinking about, oh, I'm going to not watch TV, or I'm not going to get on social media at all for 40 days, or I'm going to, you know, fast, I'm only going to eat lunch every day, or whatever the case may be, or I'm going to get up an hour earlier so that I can spend time journaling or reading the Gospels, or, you know, whatever that case is for you. You're thinking like, oh, this is going to be so hard and really challenging, and I might fail. It's going to make me weak. It's going to be, you know, too hard, and it's going to be not fun to give up stuff or to get up early or whatever. But think about it, that if you do that, it's going to bring you closer to God, and it's actually going to make you that much stronger. And I think that's a really cool way to look at it.
Yeah, that's great. How do you think you can explain Ash Wednesday and Lent, everything leading up to Easter, to like kids, to the family members, to the young children's?
Well, I think it's a really great thing for kids, because they know Easter, right? They know we celebrate Jesus, you know, rising from the dead on Easter, hopefully. They know that. And then, of course, they know it because the Easter Bunny comes and they get, you know, hunt eggs and they get candy and get new spring clothes, whatever. So they know Easter. But I think it's a good way to do it. And I think the church sometimes does a bad job at this, that we just celebrate on Easter. And I think, you know, leading up to it, you can explain to them, like, we're waiting for Easter, and we're don't just celebrate God's or Jesus rising from the dead one day. Like, it should always be a celebration. And so you can spend this time getting ready for Easter and preparing and continuing to celebrate that day before it arrives and after. Like, we should always be in celebration of that if we're Christians. And so I think that's a good way to look at it. And doing something as a family, like for Lent, if you wanted to do like a devotional as a family together, or, you know, I know even on like you can find devotions during Lent and for Lent, like even on the Bible app, you should be able to definitely find a 40-day devotional for Lent. And I'm sure you can Google different things, and maybe we'll like find some we can share on our socials and stuff. But I think that's a great way, just to kids like love to celebrate and do fun things and happy things, and Jesus rising from the dead and being a Christian and church, and it does not have to be boring. Like, it can be really fun and we can be celebrating, you know?
So kids like to party.
Yes.
I'm about it. It is a celebration. Well, I don't have anything else to say about Ash Wednesday or really much of anything.
Me either.
Well, guys, we appreciate y'all listening. I hope y'all have a blessed Ash Wednesday and enjoy the rest of your Lenten season. And we'll catch you on our next episode.
Thanks for listening.